Blog Talk Radio.
Grind. Sell the drugs they sold to us and call it drug bust. Grab they money, double product, then they lock you up, it's fucked up. They stand they ground, you better bow on yours and tough luck. We start rebelling cause they failed us, man, enough's enough. We bring a pistol, they got case. We got rocks, they got grenades. Waving tanks all in your face. Ha! Look at what you made. You're trying to send the mud, then get mad when we decayed and enraged. We play this old game since we was raised. Until we load the cartridge, blow that dust up in your face. Ha! Yeah, this shit is bad, dog. Under five black skin and got us blackballed. Yeah, this shit is fucked up. No more cries, time to ride if they act up.
Vest on and they pumped up and they ready to go. If you jumped up in that lid, fuck what you did, bruh. Your wife is sleeping, your kids crying. Heard what they said, toss your shit off on that float with that pistol up on your head. Them fuck boys running straight to your stash, like in that closet, under that bed, grabbing your kids and copping your bread. Ain't re-up, niggas ain't find shit, Lord. Somebody tell them, these niggas know too much. Point out them sucker niggas ducking, probably owe too much. Now wifey caught a kiss, your baby fucking scar. Trash in your house, these niggas claim it as they fucking job. Nah, asking questions, keep your calm, cause these sucker ass niggas hating hard. Pay us what you owe us, nigga. Or pay us cause you owe us, nigga. These sucker niggas ain't a friend of me. I overstand all of the state of all my enemies. Yeah, this shit is bad, dog. Under five black skin and got us blackballed. Yeah, this shit is fucked up. No more crimes, time to ride if they act up.
Peace, everybody. This is your girl, Shalise. Thank you for joining us for another 90 minutes of Black Power. You are listening to YBE Radio, and we are Young, Black, and Empowered. So tonight, the homie JB, she might not be with us for a few. Right now, I'm having some technical difficulties, and I'm still waiting to get Keith and EJ on the line. So just bear with me for a couple minutes, and I'll be right back on the line with you. Okay, now we in business. So now let me bring on EJ and my esteemed co-host, Keith.
Hey, hello, hello, can you hear me?
Keith, you here?
Can you hear me?
Peace, what's up, King?
How you doing? Peace, how are you?
I'm maintaining, I'm definitely maintaining. It was a long week, but I'm more than a conqueror, so, you know.
Indeed, you are. It's been the same over here with the rain and the allergies kicking up and the long weekend. Everybody wanting to get together and yeah, it's been a little busy and hectic, but you know we maintain.
I know, and then it's just been a whole bunch of stuff going on social media. So we definitely going to get into some hot topics tonight, we are going to skip the Leaders Are Readers Challenge, and that's just because I just can't pull it together, y'all. I wish I could, but I can't. So let me bring on Evelyn, and we're going to jump right into our first hot topic. Queen.
Peace, peace, peace.
Peace, how are you?
Please tell me what's going on.
Everything is everything. How are you?
Like I said, I'm maintaining. Welcome back. You know, in case you guys forgot, Evelyn was actually one of our first guests. She was on the first show. Her and the homie Maurice. So we're definitely glad to have her back. We're going to be discussing her new venture, B-Civil Battles. Hopefully we can get some of the people who have actually been very, very powerful with helping her out with that. Hopefully we're going to get Icon and Nova on the line. Yes, I'm putting the hit out on them. So if you're next to Icon or Nova right now, please tell them to call in.
Yeah, I thank y'all for having me again. I really appreciate it. I like what you're doing. I support the movement.
Of course. And you know every time we link up, we always have a good time, and the energy is always real. So I definitely appreciate all the support that you show me, because you definitely always show love.
And vice versa, no doubt.
All right, so we might as well just jump right into our first hot topic. With the, I don't even know where we're going to start. Are we going to start with the Roots remix? Are we going to start with, you know, the gorilla getting viciously shot down? Or are we going to start with TFK Boom checking the set out of Jamal Bryant? Where are we starting?
I got a question about the gorilla. So let's start there for a second, if that's cool with y'all.
Okay.
I'm trying to understand, and I'm not saying this judgmentally. I'm really saying this with an inquisitive mind. I get the animal dying. You know, that's bad, especially a gorilla being as though they're becoming extinct. His specific species, I read somewhere. I get the parents were neglectful, and that was an issue as well. But I'm trying to understand what the huge debates are about. Like, am I missing something in the story? Is something not equal enough? Because even though I do agree that it's sad that the animal had to die, and I do agree that the parents had to be totally neglectful for their child to get that far into the exhibit, I'm not sure if any parent would not agree with what happened or what was the cause of action at that point. I mean, if your child is in there with a gorilla who could easily squash a child in a matter of seconds with no problem, it's best to get that situation taken care of immediately. So I'm kind of wondering what the big back and forth and hoopla is about. So anybody could maybe, you know, open my mind or, you know, to what I should be kind of focusing on, what the focus should be on, I would love to hear it.
Okay, so let me do a little background. So from what I can tell, the little boy ended up falling into the gorilla's habitat. Some people say there's an uproar over. Some people say that the gorilla was going to harm the little boy. Other people say that the gorilla was protecting him. And then you have, well, how did he get down there anyway? Did they have to shoot him? So it's been a lot of debate over, and especially about the parents. I definitely want to touch on that because as soon as I don't know what it was that made me, when I saw like this rush of criticism and judgment, I said, I know that they're probably going to be black. As soon as I saw the picture of the couple with the headline that they had pulled his criminal record, I just, it just all fell together for me because we hear about black children being shot in drive-bys every day and nobody is upset. Nobody's you know, causing an uproar over that. But then Animal is killed because a black baby was in harm's way, and now we're ready to start a riot. So that's where I'm at with it.
Well, I think because everybody has free will to have an opinion, there's always going to be a debate about something because we all have different views on each topic. So, me personally, I don't know, I haven't really kept up that much with the story. I've seen it, I've read about it, but I try not to get too involved in, you know, those stories, just because I see the propaganda within it most times. And like you said, I'm surprised. I'm actually surprised. I didn't know it was a black baby. I just knew that the baby was white. I was almost just as shocked as I was when I found out the sniper was black. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the thing that does get me, because, I mean, if it was a white baby, I don't know if we would be having this conversation. You know, I think that it would have been like, oh, that monkey needed to be put down. You know, salute to the officers or the firemen, whoever, you know, was involved, and, you know, the safe recovery of the child, and the parents were mortified, and I feel like the story would have been swung a little differently, so I do see that problem now that you mention it. But other than that, I don't really see the debate. Like, if that's my child in there, first of all, my child would in no way, shape, or form, I just couldn't fathom it. I couldn't picture being that neglectful that they could jump, because those little enclosures are not like one fence and you're in. Like, you kind of got to jump over a long fence, and then it's like an extended part that they have to walk through. It's a lot, so I can't imagine that. But if somehow, somewhere they get in there, I mean, I'm going to want them to do whatever they got to do. Take it down, shoot whatever to get my child out of there. And the thing about tranquilizers, I've seen somebody saying on my timeline, you know, use tranquilizer darts. Those things don't work right away. And had they shot a gorilla with a tranquilizer dart, it possibly could have just aggravated it more, which would have definitely put the child in way more harm. So, I don't know. I don't understand that discussion. I feel like it's kind of simple to talk about.
I think the discussion should be a little bit deeper.
Wow.
And I've seen people talking about this as well. I'm not a fan of zoos or circuses anymore because I think it's a prison. They're locked up. They're being stolen, taken out of their natural habitat and put into and caged in something that is supposed to appear as if it was their natural habitat. And I just think it's inhumane either way. Whether they shot him, whether they tranquilized him, just the fact that he's there is the issue. And that's something that we need to talk about.
Yeah,
sure.
And also, you know, to build on what Keith was saying about the rush to judgment, that takes me into our next topic, which is the video that Boom, who is my brother, he has called into the show before. He has been a panelist at my How to Be an Activist 101 event. He is always out in the streets with us. Everywhere I go, I usually see Boom. So he is a blacktivist. He is a frontliner. His boots are always on the ground and have been for a very long time. He approached Jamal Bryant. If you don't know who Jamal Bryant is, he is a very famous pulpit pep from Baltimore. He's the pastor of Empowerment Temple. He is what my homie EJ would say is an activist, so-called activist. He, you know, he's out there for the cameras, basically. And Boom pulled him up about it. And the reaction was so backwards in my mind. It was so backwards. The fact that people were like, oh, why is he yelling at Jamal? That's disrespectful. Look, Jamal Bryant is a grown-ass man, okay? If he really felt something,
stirring in his spirit, and he felt like he wanted to defend himself, not even physically, but just verbally defend himself. As a man, he could have done it, and he chose not to because there was nothing for him to say. So I want to talk about that rush to judgment, how it just seemed like there was just this media outpour of support for Jamal Bryant, who has lied to the city of Baltimore, lied to his congregation, and even lied to his loved ones. So, EJ, I want to start with you. What was your reaction to the video and the media attention?
Well, I had first seen the video Wednesday evening. I was laying in bed and I was just scrolling on Facebook, and of course it popped up because Boom is also my brother. And so, you know, we do a lot of interaction on Facebook, and you know how Facebook algorithms are. But nonetheless, so I watched it and I was like, wow, it was something that definitely needed to be said. You know, I think a lot of other people feel like that, but don't get the opportunity to express it, or they may just express it to, you know, their peers or family. But here it is on camera now. And I was just thinking, we need to make it go viral. And sure enough, I knew it was going to happen anyway, just because of who was it, with who was in the video. Just because Jamal Bryant was already a hot topic, because of, you know, whatever his personal issues or situations are. And I thought it was funny, man. I really don't think that Boom intentionally meant to go off on him, but I think his passive nature or his passive-ass responses kind of sent them over, and, you know, he had to just let it out however it was going to come. So there was no filter anymore at that point. I think he had every intention to, you know, say what he had to say in a well-meaning manner, but, you know, Jamal Bryant just tried to play it as if, you know, it wasn't a big issue, like he didn't know what he was talking about, and it was had to be because he knew the camera was rolling. He knew that camera was rolling, man, so he had to play it. He's a character, so he had to play his role, and he wasn't going to expose himself, so, you know, he won't kind of, like, expose them anyway.
True, because I fell out.
I haven't seen it, but I've been talking, I've been scrolling on my computer just looking up, maybe I can read about it. And I will say the one thing I don't like that I'm saying is the headlines in which it's like ex-gangbanger. The other one was, like, spoken like a true gangbanger. Somebody cursing somebody out. Like, it's like it's a negative connotation on the brother speaking already before you even click play. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like you already, like, oh, here goes some knucklehead, you know, approaching a pastor. Because it's like ex-gangbanger approaches pastor, you know, and curses him out. It's like, you already paint the image that whatever the dude is saying that is the ex-gangbanger has to be wrong, and poor pastor for having to deal with this, for him telling him he has to get out of Baltimore. That's crazy. That's crazy. I'm going to definitely check it out once it goes off.
We got to remember that the people that's writing these comments suffer from cognitive dissonance and Stockholm syndrome, and they don't even know it. All right. So they're going to defend someone who is in the spotlight, someone that they see way more than they would see Boom, because they're not going to put Boom on CNN, you know? They're not going to put his positive efforts on CNN, is what I mean. Right now that, you know, something negative, and if that's what you want to call it, has gone viral, you know, they might reach out to him in that sense to speak about it. But they're not going to call him to speak about all the homeless people he fed, clothed, the books he gave out to children, saving our streets, too, when he was on the grill all day, didn't say anything, you know. That's not going to, you're not going to call him for that. So you know, the media is going to do its job. You know, it's ran by those who don't like us, and they're going to spin it how they want to because they have the power to do that. So we need to be the ones to use the same outlet that they have, well, or the outlet that we have, which is the internet, and show the real story. We need to put the real story out there because we know that Jamal Bryant hadn't been there in over 300 and something days when, you know, Tyrone West was first murdered by Baltimore City Police Department. They've been out there 140-something Wednesdays. They were supposed to speak at his church. He canceled it. You know, we know all of that. But still, you know, nationally or globally, they don't know anything about that. They never even heard about Tyrone West. So, you know, we got to put that out there. We got to use our outlets and our power because we do have it. We do have the power to do that. And I think that's important. And it's actually been happening, you know, people have reached out to Boom. I've seen the interviews and stuff that people are doing with him, trying to show, you know, who he really is. He never even been a gangbanger, you know, but that's what the media said because that's what they want people to think. They control the image, even though that's not what it might really be.
True. And you know what? Something that I noticed is that every time somebody, you know, blasts one of these pimp preachers, the first thing people say is, don't judge. Nobody is perfect. Okay. When I say that nobody is perfect, it's more like, oh, you got to be on a test. Okay. Well, nobody is perfect. Not, oh, you robbing your congregation blind, you screwing half of your congregation, and then you disrespecting the city of Baltimore, the heart of Baltimore, by, you know, acting like you're really here for the people, putting on this front like, you know, you're this new era Martin Luther King. But nobody is perfect. No, no. As a minister, as a man who is supposed to be preaching what he calls the word of God, he's supposed to be held to a higher standard.
Right. And I think we also fail to realize that even though he is held to a higher standard, he's still a human, so he's going to make mistakes. And when he does, he needs to sit that ass down. You know, we got to hold him accountable for his actions. But we don't want to do that. We just want to let it go and sweep it under the rug. And this is not as if it's not happening, almost. And it's scary, man. That's very scary.
It
but
really is.
You got people like Boom gonna put it out there
every single time. And of course, if you're listening in and you want to join in the conversation, press 1, and we'll bring you on the line for your comment. Now. Before we get started with the, before we go into the civil battles and about how this new direction that hip hop is taking towards consciousness, well, not a new direction, but a revisited, a renaissance in hip hop. First, EJ, do you have any events that you want to drop?
Yes. Me and Boom, actually, PFK Boom, are putting an event together August 20th. It's the 90s hip-hop event, and it is going to be exactly what you just talked about. We are bringing back that hip-hop consciousness. We're going to revamp it. We're going to show people that this music is still out here. So August 20th, 90s hip-hop event. Tickets are $10. So get your tickets now. Man, we got a whole lineup of people that you need to come see. We're going to drop some knowledge. We're going to have some fun. We're going to eat some food. So come on out.
And when is the next battle?
Friday, June 3rd. This Friday coming up, 8 p.m.
Now tell us a little bit about these civil battles.
All right, so I started doing them in November, and the idea came about just talking to one of my friends. I've always been the type to go on YouTube and look up the Baltimore battles. You know, when they was hot back in like 2012, they was going down the court, down Federal Hill, and they was having big battles out there, and they was recording them and putting them up on YouTube. So I was watching them, and I love it. I love the art, right? So I'm like, man, I don't see that happening here, although it is. It just wasn't in the circles that I run in, or you know, people that I know weren't inviting me out to those type of events. So I'm like, well, Six Baltimore got a headquarters, we got a spot, why not? November, I think the first show was on November 7th of 2015. It was probably like 15 people there, you know what I mean? But we had a couple of entertainers. We had some rappers come out. We had some dancers come out. And we had a good time. We had a great time. And the idea is just to let people get back to the art of hip-hop and revisit, you know, the how it was when it started. Because it wasn't about misogyny or money or any of that. It was about the message. It was about unity. It was about liberating themselves through music and song. So we want to allow people to do that. And we know that people want to express themselves, especially now that there's so much going on. And they might not have anybody to talk to because people don't necessarily understand everybody who thinks on a different level, has a certain perspective. So, you know, we just coming on, we having fun. You know, we call it the spot. Just be love. So these civil battles is held there. So if you do music, if you rap battle, if you sing, with that rap and dance battle. If you rap or if you dance, you need to come out to be civil battles because we have a lot of fun.
Okay. Now, Keith, as our resident hip-hop head, how do you feel about the direction that hip-hop and music in general is turning now with this new wave of consciousness in our community? How do you think it's affecting the music?
It's interesting. I never really thought that conscious hip-hop died. I never thought that people stopped making it. I just think that people gave up on seeking it out and supporting it. And that's coming firsthand from not only working in the studio, being a rapper myself, being in these venues, whether local talent or major talent, and seeing the response that they get, and then the artists that come into the studio that I work with, a lot of these young cats, like for a long time, that come to rap in the studio, have something to say. It may not be in the same way as we may have been used to from the KRS-Ones and the Public Enemies. And, I mean, not just them, but those are the two major ones. But even, like, Talib Kweli, Mos Def, Common. Like, it may not be in the same vein because, yeah, they are more influenced by the different style of rap. But the message and the things that they were saying, I always was intrigued because it's like, wow, y'all are really, like, rapping in this trap style. But y'all are really talking about, you know, the pain and the suffrage and wanting to get out and escape and wanting to do more than just be some thug. So I think the Renaissance itself is more so coming from the fans more than the artists. And I think that that's necessary and important because the problem is not that the music is not being made. The problem is that the music that is being made, that is being celebrated, tends to be the mindless music. And sometimes that's cool. You know, sometimes when I'm in a cookout or club, I don't really club like that, but if I am at a party, you know, I don't mind shaking my tail to something that just got a nice beat. I don't really care what they're talking about. It has its place. But at the same time, what I actually purchase, what I actually put on my iPod, what the shows that I actually desire to go to spend money to see these people, 90% of the time are people with some type of a message. And when I go to these events and I see the crowds, they're weak. And I'll see promotion and everything. And, I mean, I've been to Joell Ortiz, one of my favorite rappers. And, I mean, I just knew because he's sick. You know, he normally speaks about life and things of that nature and real stuff. And I'm like, okay, it's a small venue, so he definitely should pack this out. Because it wasn't. Nowhere near. But then I go on my timeline and I see a bunch of people complaining about, oh, there's no real music, there's no real music, there's no real music. That's a lie. If you're depending on the radio to feed you whatever you listen to, then you have fault. We have the internet for everything now. You can find anything you want to. So if you want to search out artists, and particular artists, and or if you're around people and you know that they're into hip hop and they can give you some suggestions, then you know it's there. So I think that now people are more so embracing it because of the current state, and so you know people are kind of looking at these younger cats that are speaking up and finally giving them an ear, as well as, you know, the trap and the dance. It's still not, you know, obviously 50-50. It's still not equal. It's still not totally relevant to the point where it should be. But I definitely see that it's making a comeback into the business, which is important, because if we start purchasing the music that has a message and there's a dollar amount to be made off of it, trust and believe you're going to hear more of it, because that's the main goal of 70% of these businesses. I'm going to say 70 because I know some of them, that's not the goal. But for the most part, they just bought that grain. So even if it's not true, if they can push an artist that's talking conscious and sell some medallions and some black, red, and green shirts and hats and merchandise, trust and believe they'll do it. So it's all about the support to me. It's more about the support of these artists that are doing their thing, and I think that's really what's coming back. So I'm really happy about that. I'm really happy about that, and I hope that it grows and continues to grow because it's needed.
Yeah, one thing, when you were talking about how you hear people speaking, you know, the pain, you hear more artists speaking the pain of the people. One thing that I wanted to highlight is that hip-hop, true hip-hop, it's not even just about that. It was about having fun, but they were so talented that they were actually really spitting hard, and you could still dance to it, you could still vibe to it, still rock out to it. Somebody from Baltimore that I actually definitely see that for is Icon, because it's not like Icon is talking about, you know, Harriet Tubman and Kwame Ture. He's actually just really, really spitting. And his lyricism is so dope that you can't help but feel it. And I think that that's something that we were missing, too. We were missing real hip-hop, real lyricism. You know, not just dope beats, but what's really coming out of your mind. Mm-hmm. And what are you putting into my mind?
Word. Yeah, I'm glad. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, Icon is a good example, because, you know, like you said, he's just spitting. He's just telling his life or his experiences or however he's feeling, and put it on a dope track, and now you got something just as hot as you feel me, right? Shout out to Icon, by the way. He the 6-time B-Civil Battle rap champion. I even heard that people were scared to even come to B-Civil because Icon was going to be in it. I'm like, wow.
I've always known him to, even at, you know, because if you've ever been to a Nova Great event, you know that it's sometimes when Nova will just start spitting, and then he'll pass it to Icon or he'll pass it to Illustrate. And his delivery every single time on the fly is always flawless. It's always flawless. Another one is my homie Tyrone, Ty Scholar. I can't call him that. I gotta call him Tyrone because he grew up around him. He lives literally right
there. Tyrone. What up, Ty?
Yes, that's my home. We used to walk to school together and everything. So he's another one who, when I hear him, you know, they're not talking about a lot of stuff that they're not doing. They're not talking about having all of these cars and stuff. It's like they are talking about the everyday experiences that we live every day. And to me, that's a lot more relatable than listening to people rap about the trials and tribulations of flying around on private jets.
Yeah, I mean, that it definitely is better. I mean, I say this, I don't really subject myself to, like, the real hip-hop, like, you know, kind of quotation, because it's like, I mean, it's hard to say what real hip-hop is. I mean, I guess it's just up to interpretation. I mean, rap started, you know, or hip-hop itself is more than just rap, obviously. It's the whole culture, the dance, the dress, the attitudes, everything, the graffiti. That's hip-hop. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's not just about the rap. And when it came to the rapping and the MCs, I mean, that came after the DJs. And with the MCs, when they started off, they were really just to keep the party going. So a lot of times, especially back in those days, I mean, a lot of the raps were pretty much, you know, like the ba diddy ba, the bang, diggy, diggy, diggy. Like, that was, like, the thing. Like, it wasn't really saying much, you know what I'm saying? You kind of was just flowing. It's almost like scatting, in a way. And then, I mean, a lot of people will attribute the battle between Busy B and Kumo D, where, you know, Busy B was doing that, and Kumo D kind of just attacked him in the battle and was like, nah, I'm not bothered to be buying with you. I'm going to talk about how I'm better than you. And that's when people kind of like, oh, shit, you can do this a different way. Okay, now I'm not saying that he's the only person, but that's what a lot of people like to attribute to the change. So when I hear people like Future, who I don't really listen to him, but I see why someone would, because the way he does it is different. I mean, it's different. It's not my taste, but it's different. You know, he's not really talking about nothing crazy. It's just kind of like mindless music, in my opinion. But I get the whole feeling of it, the vibe of it. It's kind of like scatting to me. That's how I look at it. I won't never say that that's not real hip-hop, and he does come from a real hip-hop background, coming from under that Organized Noise, Dungeon Family umbrella. But, you know, I guess this is all up to interpretation, like I said. And, you know, it's just good that we have variety, in my opinion. It's just good that now we're getting variety in our music, because at the end of the day, hopefully, this art form will continue to get brothers off of the street. And, you know, you have unfortunate incidents where people get shot at venues or people get into mayhem and stuff like that, because that just comes with most things dealing with, you know, excuse me, huge crowds, even in rock and roll and all that. Like, you go to them shows and people are fighting and brawling. They're not going to publicize
it as much. Let me pause you right there. What I noticed is that at these civil battles, it's none of that. I mean, have you noticed that, EJ? It's none of that. It's no tension. It's no, even when they're battling, you know, it might be a little, ooh, like, damn. But afterwards, it's all good. It's all love. Because, you know, we talk about how, like, yeah, there is violence at events. But it's also not just about, it's about the promoter. It's about the people who are performing and the energy that they are bringing to the table, because the crowd is going to respond to that.
Definitely.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
You know, a lot of this violence that's going on is because the artists themselves, they hype it up with that oh, I'll shoot you, nigga. I'll kill you and your mother or whatever, you know. And even at the last battle that I went to, you know, it was so crazy because it was actually a female rapper who came out the gate like that. Not with that, like, I'll kill you, but just, she was just so raw that it was actually, to us, it was kind of like, it was playful to hear them go back and forth about how, like, yeah, I'll come in and I'll fuck you, your mother, and your dog up. Okay, like, they was really just going back and forth, but it was just, you knew that it was about creativity. It wasn't about some real, you know, I want to harm you, I want to kill you type thing. And I think that that's what's blurring the lines in our music nowadays, and it's, and you see it spilling out on the street.
That's real. You do what you see. Just like on the movies, like when we young and we watch movies where, you know, the cops chasing a robber or something like that, when we go outside, what we going to do? We going to act out the same thing, right? Because we even got that seed planted in our mind. Subconsciously, we don't even know. So when we listen to the music, we want to imitate the same thing. That's why it's so important that we use music to revert the mind. Because then music is not just about what we're listening to and how the beat sounds, but not, or in just the lyrics, right? We feel that on a deeper level because it's not.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
We had that conversation when we talked about Beyonce and Lemonade briefly. We said that, you know, during the 1960s civil rights movement, the movement became reflected in the music because that's where the mindset was. The mindset was on building, the mindset was on revolution, and the mindset was on black power. So you had this upsurge in music that was about black power, strictly about black power. You saw artists who had never been vocal about issues. Even from my understanding, James Brown, he didn't even really want to make music that was about the struggle because he didn't want to, you know, damage his reputation as an artist. But the people were just so, they were just crying out for something that creatively matched where they were mentally, that he made Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. When the people elevate, then the artistry, it has to elevate as well.
Yeah, that's all. And that's what I was getting at when I said that, you know, the audience, I feel like, is definitely demanding, asking, and showing love to more, like, you know, when you have a Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole who, you know, will have those popular songs be positive and have a message. And like y'all said, you can still dance to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Kendrick and the We Gonna Be All Right, and his own album was just like a poem to me, of different topics and different issues within the community. And like, when you have that, you know what I'm saying, it's what people want, and they're going to let you know that that's what they want. So the more we want it and the more people show, like, yo, this is what we want, you know, even though we dance in the club to this other stuff, you know, we still want to hear this, you know, more so than not. So it's important. But like I said, I just hope that it continues to get a lot of people off the street. And not just the rappers. I mean, you know, when it comes to the violence, a lot of times you got to, you know, it's the people who come from the street, you know, who they don't know nothing else. So it's hard to tell them to turn it off just because they got a microphone in their hand, or, you know, they got their boys with them and they trying to get their boys out the way. And like, look, you know, we don't have to do that no more. It's hard for them to change their mindset in a day to turn it around. But I mean, so many people have opportunities within hip-hop, not just to be a rapper, but to learn to be an A&R, to learn to be a writer, to learn to be, you know, anything within the business, you know, promoter, anything within the business, like, that can help maybe their friend or somebody that they know as an artist, graphics, video, camera, like, and that can propel them to do something bigger than just hip-hop. You know, they can go into movies and they can go into anything else, be an author. Like, you know, so that's what I love about hip-hop, you know, and that's what I will continue to love about hip-hop is that it gives people an opportunity to showcase abilities they never even knew that they had. And that's what it did for me, and I've seen it do a lot for other people. So that's the beauty of what's happening right now, and I love it. So I just hope that that just continues to grow and grow and grow.
EJ, how do you think that, you know, powering event like the Civil Battles, how has that affected you? Or what is the significance to you? Ida? Did we lose Ida?
Yeah, I think we may have lost her.
Let me see. Okay. Is this her? Is she back? Let me check and see. Sorry, guys. We lost EJ for a second, but we're about to get her back. I'm so technically disabled right now. Okay.
It's all good.
I've been messing up all day. EJ, are you back? No, she's not back yet because the switchboard crashed on me. I'm telling y'all, this is why I went. Look, JB, you can't leave us no more. I'm telling you, when she don't be here, everything be going wrong. Let me, now I gotta just restart my browser real quick. But yeah, Keith, when you coming out here to kick it with us?
I need to come to Baltimore. It's so many things going on in Baltimore that I get invited to, you know, that I see happening and I want to come do. Like, I don't know, but it needs to happen soon. It really needs to happen soon because it's just a lot, you know, that I see you guys doing. Like, I seen the hit when you were at the Hidden Colors from there. And
I couldn't
find one here. I looked. I was like, I don't see them playing here. I mean, I might have overlooked it, but I just didn't see it. So I was definitely jealous. How was it?
Dope. It was just so dope. It was, if you have, and EJ, you're back on, but I just have to talk about Hidden Colors real quick. I don't know how it skipped my mind. If you are in the DMV, the next showing is going to be on, give me 1 second, June 6th, that's a Monday, from 6 to 10 at the Senator Theater. The tickets are $17 in advance, $20 at the door, but you definitely want to get a ticket because it was sold out. The last show was sold out, but Hidden Colors 4 is, it just builds on, if you've seen the rest of the Hidden Colors series, it just builds on that information, but it brings a lot of new, scholars forefront. As you know, we lost Mama Frances Quest Browsing. So she's definitely missed in the project. But I noticed that Umar wasn't in the movie either. Umar Johnson was not in the movie either. So I don't know if that's a reflection of, you know, their relationship or what's going on with Umar right now. But, yeah, I think that if you have the opportunity to see it, you should definitely come to see it. So, EJ, are you back?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. And like three times.
Y'all, I know.
I'm sorry.
But no, what I asked you before you got cut off is, what effect, Keith spoke to how the music and, you know, hosting events where hip hop is being showcased in a positive manner, it can be very empowering for the people, not only who are performing, but the ones who are actually throwing the event. So I wanted to know, what significance has actually, you know, organizing these civil battles held for you, and how has it impacted you, if it's had any impact?
It's kind of surreal.
because of the love and the support that I've been getting for it. And I want to put it out there that, honestly, this isn't even about me. I just organized this because it's something that I like and I respect it. I want to be in the building with creators, with artists, whether it's singers, rappers, dancers, producers, comedians, whatever, painters. And it's just, you know, I get charged up every 2 weeks just being in their energy and in their space, because there's always good vibes in there, like you were saying earlier. You know, it hasn't been a situation where, you know, tempers got flared or we had a heated discussion or any of that, because it's always all love in that space. And I think people feel that. Well, I know that people feel that because I've been getting a lot of dope feedback from it. And when I say that, I really mean it, because people are writing me long paragraph text messages telling me how it's changed their lives. And I'm just like, wow. You know, I never even thought that this would be something that could change a young person's life, but here it is. So, you know, that's what I'm all about anyway, is impacting change, especially within our community. So, you know, I'm just honored and I'm blessed to even be in the space.
Okay. So what do you see for the future of Be Civil Battles? Or do you see yourself, you know, do you have any upcoming projects that you want to drop?
I do know that we're going to do a special show at the end of the year. So at the end of March, I had already booked up features for the entire year for Be Civil, right? Which was super. I was super stoked about that because I wasn't expecting it. But so I decided that we would do a special show at the end of the year. Although we do it every other Friday, December 31st is on a Saturday this year. So instead of it being a battle on that Friday, we're going to bring the new year in together on that Saturday. And I'm going to do a special show where the artists who participated in the show throughout the year will be able to have their own set and do their own thing, because I know they want to perform and get their shine on too, right? So that's something that I really want to promote. I'm happy that it's kind of laid out like that, because, you know, I wouldn't mind bringing in the year with all of you guys. All in, you know, we all in the same space, and we just doing our thing and just being free, right, rolling right on into 2017. And then next year for 2017, I really want to take it. I want to take our core group of artists and dancers and take it to HBCUs or colleges and different cities and battle their core group of people. And let's have some fun with that.
Oh, shucks, Be Civil Tour.
Yeah.
I'm with it.
Yeah, we trying to get in D.C. I'm already talking to people in New York. Atlanta want us to come down there. Even, like, right in Annapolis, which is right down the road, they want us to come down there. So, you know, I'm just trying to figure out how we can all benefit from that and take it on tour.
Bottom line, it's gonna be lit. It's gonna be righteous. And Keith, I think you need to get on that too.
No, I definitely want to come over and check it out. And if you need any help with anything in the city, you know, add me to your friends list. I'll see what I can do. Any connections I have that could be of assistance to you, I definitely, you know, would love to share that with you.
Awesome. I appreciate that, man. Yeah, we definitely need to get together and link up, do some work together.
Exactly.
I didn't know you were an artist.
Yes,
so
man.
So,
I think you're I think you're from Quest.
I think so.
Okay. He'll be where? What'd you say, Shalice?
He produced our theme song. Keith, what were you saying?
Oh, I was, you know what? I meant to ask you who was whose song that was.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was just telling her I was going to send her a phone request. But, yeah, that's me and my brother, Jeff Paul. It's called State of the Enemy. and yeah, I've been doing it for a while. So Like I said, we'll link and, you know, we'll discuss, and I'll hit you to some of the things, and hopefully you can hit me to some of your things as well. But, yeah, we definitely need to, you know, unite and do that.
Yeah, man, I'm with it. Nation build. Link up.
Right, right. You know, we
black
all about
power black in this motherfucker.
Around here, we all about black debating, black power. Of course, I'm very excited about the end of the year show, and I can already tell that's going to be love, because if you know the people who come to this event, Vince at this event, who, you know, just who we just all happen to link up, when we all come together, it's always a good time. It's always love. So definitely start planning for your new year now. If you want to spend your new year with in a safe environment where you can just be, that's what you're going to want to put on your calendar. So we're going to close out the show a little early this week. Of course, I want to send love and blessings to my homie JB. Her and Nikki had a little situation with Nikki's grandmother, so definitely sending a lot of love out to them. Did you guys have any final thoughts, any final remarks?
Shout out to all my fam. You know, I can't get out the line without saying what's up to my brothers and sisters. The hashtag it's Baltimore.
Hey.
If you're looking to come and be a part of a community initiative, check out hashtag Fix Baltimore on Instagram or Facebook, and reach out to one of us. We meet up every Sunday at around 11 or 12 noon. Locations vary, so you know we try to keep everyone up to date in the Facebook groups and on Instagram. We're a community group who just a collective of entrepreneurs and professionals who dedicate our time to the community. We go around and plant flowers in potholes. We do community cleanups. We have urban gardens. And it's just going to keep on growing from there. Sharice always come out, show us love, show support. So we're just going to keep it going.
I sure do. And if you come out this summer, bring your water gun. I had my water gun last week.
I'm so mad.
Yes, I had my water gun last week. It was so fun. It was so much fun. I'm telling y'all, you know, Shannon, if you're listening, Belinda, Tina, I'm coming for you. So be ready. Steve, did you have any final thoughts that you wanted to drop on us?
Just peace to everybody who listened in, joined in, who always, you know, come through, and, you know, give us some ears to hear our words, and, you know, and hopefully I just want to say to my timeline, you know, specifically, you know, it's a trying time. It's a lot going on in the world. Let's try to see if we can move past Grits, Gorillas, and Gucci Man and start dialoguing about some more things that we could help to impact the world. But thank everybody for listening and, you know, your support always. And much love to JB, as y'all call her. And I call her Binks. So much love to Binks and her lady and their family. And thank you.
I appreciate y'all for
all right. And we're glad that you came.
And thank you for having me. Thank
so
you
much
for coming.
Love you, fam. Love you,
okay,
well, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. Good night. And as always, peace, love, and black power.
Peace.